Earth and Sky.
We tend to have a short memory about natural disasters. What we do is we tend to have a natural disaster and suffer a lot of damage and a lot of loss of life, but we tend to forget the lessons after about 10 or 20 years. And we need to educate the younger people that, in fact, these disasters do occur and there are ways to plan for them.
You're listening to Coastal Engineer Robert Dalrymple, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dalrymple was included on Wired Magazine's Smart List in 2008. He spoke to Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about smarter ways to build for more extreme and more frequent storms.
In the Wired piece that was written about you, you say that there's going to be many more extreme weather events. And I mean, how many more extreme weather events? How much more frequently are they going to be occurring?
That's a difficult question to answer. Climatologists are looking into that, and it turns out that there are cycles of hurricanes, so that for many decades we've had a small number of hurricanes, and then over the last couple of years the cycle seems to have come to a place where we've got many more hurricanes occurring in every year. And so we've got these natural sequences, but there are those that believe that because of the climate change and the warming of, say, the water in the Gulf of Mexico and the oceans in general, that hurricanes will become more frequent and perhaps much more intense.
Are we preparing for this in any way?
We're preparing in the sense that people are aware that there is a problem. In terms of are we preparing to a level that we need to prepare, I don't think so. For example, a lot of our designs are designed for a 100-year hurricane. When you take a major city like New Orleans, I don't think a 100-year hurricane is particularly an appropriate design. We should be designing our protection for much higher levels of storms. That is, say, a 1 in 400-year storm, for example.
Can you just describe to me how that those levels work? What's a 100-year hurricane design?
So this is a design level that people have used in the past, and the idea is that in any one year, there's one chance in 100 that this storm will occur. People tend to believe that this storm will only occur once in every 100 years, and so if one happens this year, we have to wait 100 years for another one, and that's incorrect. What it means is we have one chance in 100 that it'll occur this year, and then next year we have one chance in 100 that it'll occur again. And so when you add up all of these probabilities, then over the course of, say, 30 years, a typical mortgage, then you have about a 26% chance that the 100-year storm will occur.
So what are some of the aspects of design that can make a building last against that kind of storm?
Well, people can build structures to withstand the impact of waves and currents. For example, during Hurricane Ike, there was an interesting picture of a beach house on the Bolivar Peninsula that survived, whereas all the other houses were destroyed and one house survived. And what that says is there are ways to design coastal structures such that they can withstand storm surge and large waves. The problem is, of course, that you have to spend more money to build a strong structure. So building houses on pilings, building houses at high enough elevations such that the storm surge can go under the house, and of course, designing the house so that they can withstand the winds.
What are other ways that we can be prepared for hurricanes?
Well, for cities, we need to think about how to evacuate large numbers of people in very short periods of time. The National Weather Service does a reasonably good job of predicting where hurricanes will go. And in fact, they make predictions, say, 5 days in advance of where these hurricanes are going to hit on the coastline. But they're not always accurate. And of course, the storms change hour by hour. So it becomes critical that you make very good predictions of where these hurricanes are going to make landfall. People then have to have enough time and enough access to leave the coastal area. And one of the problems we have with major cities is we can't get millions of people out of the city over the course of 10 hours or 24 hours. And that's a serious problem. And as we move more people to the coastline, then the problem becomes exacerbated.
How do these issues differ from the U.S. to, say, southeastern Asia, where they also have a lot of hurricanes?
Well, one of the problems in other countries, such as in the Indian Ocean, for example, is that they haven't made the infrastructure investments to provide warning systems, so they don't have the kinds of warnings that we have in terms of hurricanes. And certainly this is true for the case of tsunamis. During the December 26th tsunami of 2004, there was no warning system in place to warn the coastal residents that, in fact, the tsunami was coming. In the U.S., we do have a warning system that provides that kind of notice ahead of time so that people can leave the coastline.
So how do you think we should change the ways that humans interact with the coast?
Well, one of the issues is either saying that people shouldn't live at the coast, and there are certain areas where people have been prohibited from living, and in that case, then the shoreline behaves in its natural way. Now, it's still going to erode because of rising sea level and the waves and so forth. So that's one way of doing it, and that is just banning people living at the shoreline. But, of course, that's not a very popular thing to do. So, in fact, what we have to do is make sure that when people live at the shoreline, they live in a way that's consistent with the natural processes, and so that we don't build a lot of harbors and inlets at shorelines that intercept the natural transport of sand along the beach. We don't bulldoze sand dunes. We don't take sand from the beach. We don't interfere with the natural processes and try to let the beach behave in its natural way.
So I know you've seen a lot of the damage done by these kinds of coastal disasters. And what have you learned from your personal experiences there?
One of the things I've learned is that we tend to have a short memory about natural disasters. When we went to look at some of the damage during the tsunami in the Indian Ocean, what we found was that the lessons that we learned were lessons that were learned by other people from earlier tsunamis. And people should learn that, you know, you need to live above the height of expected tsunamis, and people should build stronger dwellings and so forth. And we need to educate the younger people that, in fact, these disasters do occur and there are ways to plan for them.
You've been listening to Robert Dalrymple, professor of civil engineering at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.